You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
Is there a... So you've touched on this a little bit, but I think it's a good point to talk about it in the song, especially before we get to So Help Me God. You mentioned this before, but like it's worth calling out. You are like the... It's not just so much that you are a Christian who is talking about his life. Like you, there, many of these songs are overtly about Christian themes, topics, what it's like to be in the modern church, what you think, how you think should be your relationship with God. Is it fair to say that that is not how you have always rapped?
Absolutely.
Were you concerned about fans sort of being confronted with a new Armand? And has the feedback so far, how do you feel about this?
The feedback has largely been people have said that if they listen from Dreaming Out Loud up until now, that they see my growth as a man and as a believer. Okay. And that's what I love, because this isn't overnight. This walk isn't overnight. This isn't something that you can just go to the altar, get some oil slapped on your forehead, and just everything just comes out of your body. That's not how this works. There is a process of mind renewal and humanity, and we're about to get into a lot of that, that either you don't want to give up, or it's difficult to give up, or you don't realize how layered it is. And my life and my walk has been much of that, where I spent a lot of my 20s running. I spent a lot of my 20s fighting. I spent a lot of my 20s hiding. I spent a lot of my 20s in denial. Excuse me. And so now I'm at the place where I've, you know, because God created time, like he ain't gonna never get tired of us. Like, I think number one, his love just extends that far. And then number two, he's just like, this is nothing to him. So he's like, all right, when you ready, like, I'll be here. And I got tired of running. I was like, okay, let's finally do this for real, because I clearly see what I am capable of on my own, and it's nothing that I want to lay claim to. So was I concerned about hearing, or like my fan base hearing, a new Armand? No. I am curious to know what, because I exist in so many different fan bases. My fan base is not entirely Christian. So for them, I want to know, what does this feel like? And just, what does this feel like? I'm curious to have those conversations with people that are like, yo, you know, this is different for you. What's going on? And for me to listen to them, how they process it, or how they choose not to, where they say, yo, this is kind of whack, I'm not feeling this. Like, what is that going to look like? I'm not sure yet, because the album's only been out for a day.
Right.
But I'm positive those conversations are coming, and I'm looking forward to them.
I mean, it took me aback, right? I mean,
sure.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm not a Christian.
Right.
You know, much to some people's surprise.
Yeah, people really, they're like, that's not a believer? It's like, nah. But yeah. So what was that for you?
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, on some levels, we've talked about this, I mean, especially early on in the show. So like longtime listeners of Clock Radio Speakers will know this. Like, I really used to sort of be very sort of stringent in terms of trying to say, look, I don't want to be preached to. And then we got into a whole conversation about what that means.
Conversation. Yep.
And what I would say is, you are so, what you're still doing is talking about your personal experiences. The difference is that you're just being much more explicit about, and much more, not open is the wrong word, I'll say explicit about particular aspects of your relationship with your religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it is still from a very personal level. Like, I don't hear you, I mean, I'll use the loaded term, right? You don't come off as preachy here. In fact, I would say some of your more pointed commentary is directed inward at what you might call fellow believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not like you're expecting someone to listen to this and, you know, be like, oh, God's the cool thing now.
Yes.
This is what the kids are doing.
Yes.
Right. That's not your approach.
Yes.
I would be troubled if that were your approach.
Yeah.
Right. I would agree with the commentary that if you start, you said start dreaming out loud, and I was just like, oh my God, dreaming out loud.
Dreaming out loud, bro. Like, oh my God. I mean, yeah, you. I mean, shoot, you tweeted Child of God a couple of days ago.
You know,
like Doc is ready for this album to come out now. And actually, side note, I've got an idea that I want to talk to you about online or offline.
Okay.
So remind me to bring that up.
So yeah, I mean, I would say like if you go back, listen to Dreaming Out Loud all the way through, then yeah, like it is still you being a very like personal rapper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you as a person are growing and changing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the point. I don't ever, because I believe that, I think because it's twofold, because on one hand, if we as Christians know our standard, right? If we know our standard, then if you were trying to really live, not even live up to that standard, because then that also, you know, indicates like works where we don't work for something, we work from it. So because God embraces us and accepts us and is in us, then in turn, we can do what he calls us to do. It's not like I have to do this thing and then God will accept me. But if we understand what our standard is, then if we are endeavoring to live that out, we don't have time to point at people who don't believe in what we believe in and tell them you're wrong. I've never seen an argument and I've never seen finger pointing win anybody to Christ. Never. So why would we do that? So my whole thing is when people have these, when people feel a certain way about like the church or whatever, I understand people's perspective. I get it. So I don't really knock people for that. But I also say, well, bro, like we've all got church hurt into a church and left out that joint. Like, nah. And even in cases like mine, I've been responsible for church hurt because at the same time, as corrupt as the church is or can be, I'll say I think it's corrupt just because it's humans and we're just extremely flawed people. And anywhere humanity exists is you're going to find room for improvement. But at the same time, the church is still like the bride of Christ. It's still God's heart. God still loves the church. So I can't, like, even when I'm saying these things, it's like me saying, like, come on, y'all, let's get this together. Because when we really show what this is really supposed to be, that will draw people in. They'll say, well, dang, what is that? That's different. That's not my grandmama's church. Or that's not my grandmama's Jesus. That's not white Jesus. That's not all these things that I thought it was. Like, no, this is real. And so that's why if you listen, the last word that I say on Jesus is Jesus. But the first word on So Help Me God is Jesus. I'm talking to Jesus in two totally different ways, but in two totally different ways where he exists to me. When I declare him as Lord, he exists. But when I'm in the reality of me and I suck, because one thing that Kristen Gray talked about on his Wado interview is that we often talk about like stuff that we used to do. Like, oh, I used to be in the club. I used to smoke weed. I used to drink. I used to fornicate. I used to do this. Well, what are you doing? What are you struggling with now? You have to be struggling with something now. Like as a believer, you have to be struggling with something now. There has to be something that you can't get right, because we don't, though we strive for perfection, we never going to get it. The Bible says we're not going to get it because only Jesus is perfect. And that's cool. So like, that's why So Help Me God fits right after Jesus, because I'm like, yeah, Jesus. And I'm like, oh my God. Cause that's kind of what happens. You'll have this moment where he's great. And then like your whole life will be like, oh word. And just collapse all around you. And you're like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I believe what I just said. So yeah.
So let's talk about So Help Me God.
Woo!
Produced by J. Roden and T. Wiley.
Woo! My favorite beat on the album.
So talk to me about why this song means so much to you.
Oh my God. I wrote this song. Everything on that song, man, I'm not going to lie. There's some things that like I don't want to talk about in talking about this song. And I have to let go of my life. I just said this on Instagram. Like, well, when you realize your life isn't yours, it makes it easier for you to talk about. But then there's still some things in that record where I'm like, I don't really want people to know that, because those records and those songs are like about people and about situations, recent situations, even situations that have happened since I wrote the record, where like I'm listening to these records with friends of mine, and they're like, yo, this is what you're going through right now. Like, what's up? So, first of all, the sample is beautiful. I don't know where Rodin found that at, but I just knew as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is it. I originally thought it was going to be like Chevy Impala Music 5. Mm. It felt like some like Maybach Music stuff. But then I was like, nah. Then T. Wilder got his hands on it and just made it what it was. And I wanted to, this is the last thing I'll say about it. I wanted to outdo Walking Contradiction lyrically, because I'm not there anymore. So when we performed Walking Contradiction at the Happy People show, I got depressed after that. And I was like, I'm never performing this song again, even though I did it at the Even If I Lose experience, but whatever.
I mean, you did it briefly.
That was briefly, yeah. But I was like, man, I'm not here anymore. But this is like an evolving of song or that concept. And, you know, again, So Help Me, that hook is from Kesha 2. So that's 2013. So again, another record for a concept that I've been sitting on that I rehashed and turned into something bigger and more poignant. So I really wanted to go there, because I think in 2000 and shoot, when did we do Walk Contradiction? 11?
Yeah.
Like I wasn't really able to go there. But with this record, when I wrote it, I was just like, let's just do it. And I went there and I learned things like, you know, doing a song called Father's Day and then seeing like, you know, the humanity in your father immediately after that. Still not having the best relationship with my mother, still not doing relationships well, still understanding where that comes from, you know, like really not believing God. But then I'm out here performing, telling people to trust God. And like, I get off stage and I'm like, I don't know. So I wanted to go there because I felt like that was necessary. And the response to that has been unreal, unreal. Like, I can't believe the stories that people are telling me with that.
When you performed this, I remember you performing this live at the Even If I Lose experience.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little emotional.
Yeah. You said you did?
I said you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about performing this live?
I will only perform it live in certain settings. Like my show, I have a show this weekend. I'm not performing it live. I only perform it live in certain settings. And I think when it warrants it. And some of the songs on the album, this is the only song that gets me emotional when I perform it. But I want to be able to give myself over when I do that, so that people can really understand what this means to me and to what this is. Like, for real, for real.
Can you talk a little bit about the sequencing that you're sort of setting up here, right? Because it's no accident that these tracks are sort of in this sequence, especially God, Jesus, and then So Help Me God.
Yes.
Right. You're purposely telling a story, right?
Yes.
So at the risk of being obvious, like, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. So Revelations, Revolution, and I Am the One are very much like punches in the mouth, where we're like, yeah, we're like in the middle of a story is what I feel like. Where Genesis, Revelation on Kairos into This Is Kairos is more like ushering you into a concept. This is like you walking into the movie 20 minutes late, but you're not too sure if you missed anything. It's one of those things where like you can walk in 20 minutes late and still see the movie, but then it's going to make you want to go back and see what you missed. And what you missed is pertinent to the story. And then God is like a kind of a sort of a sharp left turn. It really depends. It depends on really your posture towards like what I'm talking about. So if you believe that, then yeah, you're fine. If you don't believe that, then you're like, oh, sharp turn. Then Jesus is like another sharp turn, because that's very bold and in your face. And then the production is another sharp left turn. Then So Help Me God is another sharp left turn. Because I feel like that's an accurate representation of this life. It's just, it's a sequence of sharp left turns where everything is good, then everything is unbearable, and then things I think are okay, and then things are great, and then things are unbearable again. And it's just a series of lessons and life, really. And so I wanted So Help Me God to be in the middle, because we, like I said earlier, like some of us will perform or we'll minister or whatever, and we'll be like, yeah, Jesus, yeah, and then get off stage. And I've had so many conversations with with prominent Christian artists who are just like, they're not feeling it. But for some of them, this pays their bills. For some of them, they want to believe. For some of them, you know, they don't have time to like buckle down and really, they, or maybe they don't have, they're not submitted to a local church. So there's not anybody they can, for many people, counseling and therapy is still frowned upon. There's a lot of unlearning that they have to do, and there's like, and they're doing it by themselves, or they're doing it in the wrong space. There's just a lot of different reasons why people aren't where they could be. And so, So Help Me God was like in the middle of that to represent like, this isn't perfection, man. This is real life. This is real stuff that we're still dealing with, and we will continue to deal with as long as we have breath in our bodies.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about So Help Me God?
It's just my favorite beat on the album. Like, they just did work on that. Yeah. That's it. I'm good.
Let's talk about How Much More, featuring Sean C. Johnson.
Yes.
Produced by Jay Roden and Jonathan Baker.
Yes.
So the feel of the album is kind of chilling out a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
After kind of a intense opening run, right? When you're sort of like figuring out the order of tracks, did you try to get a sense for, I can be this intense before I need to sort of fall back a little bit, or did it just work out that way?
I went more for content than feel.
Okay.
So there's a reason why all the songs abruptly stop. The engineers for the album wanted to like fade some of these records out, and I was like, no, because they're to represent Kairos moments and how quickly they appear, where they're not gradual. They're often like smack dab, like immediately. So with this, I wanted it to be like, I'm at the end of my rope. This is overwhelming. Like Christianity is one of those religions where like God will show you. And that's scary, where you understand like the reality of your humanity and why you need a savior. And so to go from that to How Much More is like the same God who will show you your humanity is the same God that will comfort you in that. And so I wanted that to come instantaneously, because that's a worship song. And I wanted that to exist. Like, there's no answer for So Help Me God. There's never another record where I'm like, I figured this out. It's just like, so God is boom, but I got to go to God for this. So if these things are all so prevalent in my life, how much more is like you, how much more do you still love me despite all of this stuff that I'm dealing with in my life is nuts. So that was why I put that album. That's why I put that song immediately after So Help Me God.
I think the feel of this album is really interesting, right? You talk about content, but I think that there is a flow, right? I mean, to me, it is like you start off sort of like these punches in the mouth, and then you get, you know, God into Jesus and the So Help Me God, where you're being pretty pointed. And then, like, as you said, how much more is it's a notable sort of change, but I think you have to have that, because also part of what How Much More has to do, aside from just being a song on the album, it has to sort of get you from So Help Me God to The Weight, right? Which are two very different songs.
Yep.
So The Weight with Jonathan Baker.
Yep.
And who is singing on it? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
One of my really good friends, Bria Taylor. She goes by Bria Tay. Extremely talented.
And it's produced by T. Wilder.
Yep.
And so you're up in the tempo a bit. You're trying to, I mean, almost trying to get people to dance a little bit, right?
Yes.
So talk about The Weight. What do you want people to feel as they're listening to this song?
I think for some people, like, waiting on God is not not a cool thing to do. I'll say it's not an easy thing to do. It's something that we're kind of like, we just don't want to do it. It's long. We don't know what we're waiting for. We don't know how long we're going to wait. It could be days. It could be years. It could be a lifetime. We don't know. And so I really felt like God wanted me to like make a song that put waiting on him in a positive light, because like the waiting is where that's where our character is developed. Like people say, it's about the journey, not the destination. It's the same thing. So, you know, sometimes Some people are like, just get in a car and they'll just drive cross country. And so we're going to go from New York to L.A. And driving from New York to L.A. and seeing the landscape of America is amazing. You're running into all these cities and all these states and all these monuments and these, you know, these small, all this stuff that you otherwise wouldn't have experienced. And by the time you get to L.A., like, L.A.'s great, but it's like, man, I really enjoyed sitting in that car for a week or however long it took, you know, with that person or those people. I learned a lot about them, you know, road trips, conversations. There was the one time when, you know, we got a flat tire, or there was a really bad storm that we had to drive through, or I left my wallet in this place, or whatever. But it, like, it produces so much, that road trip produced so much in you that by the time you get to LA, yes, LA is cool, but you appreciate, like, the road trip. So that's what the wait is. The wait is like, there's no answer outside of, I'm just going to trust Jesus. Even if I lose, I win. But in the meantime, I'm going to wait on him and I'm going to enjoy it because I'm getting some out of it.
Your man Jonathan Baker gets some bars off on this track.
Yes.
Talk about, I mean, so you've worked with him, you know, this is not your first time working with him, but.
At all.
When did I miss him becoming a rapper somewhere along the line?
Yeah, JB is somebody who has a million weapons at his disposal. And I think that for him, I think right now because he sung for so long, I think right now he just is pulling out another pistol out of his, for lack of a better term. If all of his weapons are in, you know, in a case in the basement, like, he's just enjoying this rapper gun that he's, you know, he's enjoying shooting that and cleaning that or whatever. He's still got everything else. He can still do everything else. He's just rapping right now. Like, his album that came out today is all rap.
Oh, interesting.
It's all rap. There's no singing, no anything. It's just rap. So, yeah, I think that's just what he wants to do. So shoot, let him do it.
When you performed this live at the Even If I Lose Experience, this was a crowd favorite.
Yes, it was.
Any plan, and I'll jump ahead to a question we got asked on Twitter, whether it's this song or another song. So I Am the One is a single right now, but the mm-hmm. wait seems like an obvious choice for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be. Okay. Mm-hmm, definitely. The singles are pretty much what I wanted to do is another thing. And I didn't say this is like, I studied albums, but I wanted to create an album where every song could stand on its own. If I wanted to shoot a video for anything on this album, it would have made sense. So I feel like I accomplished that. I feel like that was accomplished.
Anything else you want to say about the wait?
No.
So now we get to Sweeter, which, how long has Sweeter been out now?
May.
Wow,
May.
That long, huh?
Yeah, it's been a minute, man.
It's been a minute.
And Sweeter was one of those records where I was like, look, y'all, we about to put out something. I just kind of went to the label and was like, we're putting out some music. I have this song. We're releasing it. So for people to be like, yeah, it was always supposed to be on the album, but I just wanted it out because I wanted it out.
And so we said before, but produced by Jay Roden. How do you feel about this song now?
I still love it. I feel like for a lot of people, this is going to be up there with Genesis Revelation as one of my like definitive songs.
Okay.
Because people really like this record. And I'm not tired of it. I still think it's a great record. I almost wish it was longer.
Interesting. Why?
But I don't know.
You just want more?
Yeah. It's an 8-bar verse. And I think the second verse is 24. So it's two verses, but like really it's just me rapping the same verse twice and then extending it.
Right.
I don't know. I just like it.
So you're telling us, you know, you sort of, these songs are sequenced for a reason. So why this song Sweeter at this point in the album?
This is my Nas If I Ruled the World rule. Let's put the single at the end of the album instead of right. at the beginning. That was the only, I didn't think too hard about that. I just knew that I wanted to get all the new music out the way, but I still knew that Sweeter fit within the context of the album. And so I just wanted to, let's put it at the end. Why not?
Okay. It'll be interesting, right? I mean, this song will get a whole nother new life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the good thing about being an indie artist is, you know, if I'm not, you know, if I'm getting the types of streams that people are listening to the album, but there's way more people who haven't heard it than That's people right. who have. So, you know, we can work this record forever. I always think about Country Grammar. Country Grammar was a hit in St. Louis for like a year and a half before the world heard it. Like, I remember hearing about the St. Lunatics and like Nellyville was out in St. Louis forever. So by the time the world got it, essentially Universal just paid for an indie album that was already done.
I mean, Ludacris' first album was not that far off from that, too.
Right. Absolutely.
They just added the Neptunes record and boom.
Yep.
It was a simpler time, man.
Oh, man. Oh, 2000. Oh, Ludacris.
Oh, Ludacris.
We hardly knew you.
No, Sweeter is, it's interesting. I don't know. I wasn't expecting Sweeter to be. I guess I should have known that Sweeter was going to be on the album, but I was kind of like, oh, but you're right. I mean, it also, I mean, I think you're sort of maybe downplaying a little bit like that. It's not, well, yes, it is about content. Like I do feel like there is a nice sort of curve and flow to the album.
Okay.
And I think Sweeter actually very nicely after the wait.
I'll say this. Maybe I'm not putting such an emphasis on that because Clock Radio Speakers is just something that we do.
Mm.
So maybe I'm just like, it's so second nature that I'm not thinking about it in that way. It's just, why wouldn't I put this at the end? It just feels right. But in actuality, I'm so used to breaking down albums the way that we do that it's just, it's different. So I don't know.
And, you know, of course people can go check out the remix. You know, just hypothetically speaking.
Yo, your remix is super slept on. Your remix is hard. Like, yeah, your remix is tough. I almost just kind of want to take that beat and do something else to it.
I mean, we can. Okay.
Wait. Shut up. We'll talk offline.
And then we end. Anything else you want to say about Sweeter?
Nah, we're good.
And then you end with 723.
Yes.
So you said it on Twitter, but we'll just get out of the way. What does 723 mean?
It's just the number of, it's the number of the beat.
That's right. There's nothing.
It's nothing deep about it. Now, what I did was I wanted to attach scriptures to each one of the songs.
I was going to ask you about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, let me search all of the Bible verses that have chapter 7s and verse 23s. And let's see if there's anything that's dope. So I think I ended up going with like 1 Corinthians or something. Like, oh, yeah, this is dope. This will work. But no, there was nothing. Again, making it a point to not overthink it because I decided that I wanted this song on the album. I did think about, okay, what can I call it? Like, I was thinking about calling it like theme music or like, you know, movie credits or something like that, because this outro. Is essentially, yeah, outro something, because this to me is Sweeter is like, the wait is like in a movie where, you know, somebody maybe resolves to do the right thing and then the right thing happens and then everything is like cool. And then like, the Sweeter is like the end of Rush Hour when like Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker at the airport. Like, we're about to leave, you know. We didn't even talk about your AMC thing. That's normally a yearly thing we talk about on the show. You know, we didn't talk, or, you know, they're at the airport, they're whatever, and then they go away. But then like there's the super up-tempo song, or maybe there's the single off the soundtrack that they're playing during the credits. That's what I was thinking of when I put 723, because what happened was we had the original version was supposed to end with Sweeter. And I was talking to T. Wilder about the album, and T. Wilder was like, it's missing another boom bap record. And so originally Election Day was going to be on the album. It was supposed to come after I Am the One and Before God, but conceptually it just didn't fit. And so 723 was literally something that you and I just did. Again, another beat that you just had sitting in Dropbox, and I finally rapped to it. And Metelli Graves and I shot a video, and the video never came out, though I did get a green light to do something with that. So y'all be seeing that soon. And it was just like, this is dope. This is perfect. I love this verse. This beat is crazy. This can be the missing boom bap record. And I was like, let's just put it at the end as like moving, like parting music as people are getting out of the movie theater, credits are rolling, and they're listening to this song as they're leaving.
Yeah. And it's right in that tempo for you. It's 88 BPMs, which is, I enjoy making, it's funny, this is real nerdy. I particularly enjoy making beats at 88 BPMs. I've had good luck there.
Mm-hmm.
Without You is 88 BPMs.
Is that sounds slower.
Yeah, it's not.
Huh.
I've done quite a few records in that 88, 89, like right in that range.
Okay.
But no, 723. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's not really much of a structure to that beat, right? It's just like, so there's no hook or anything like that, but it works.
Yeah.
There's one line in here I want to ask you about.
Okay.
You say, it's not, you know, it ain't Trump. It's about who comes after him.
Yes.
I think it's, I don't know. It might be obvious what that means, but can you talk a little bit about that?
I feel like as terrible as Trump is, my concern is that whoever runs after him is like, you know, just anybody but that guy.
Hmm.
And so I think that whoever runs after, all they got to do is say the right things. It's like the girl who gets out of the bad relationship, and the first guy that she meets who says the right things, she's like, I want him. Whether it's whatever happens after that, she's like, I want him because he's not that. And I think that is a huge gaping hole, because there's so many issues in our country that we need like closure on. So everything from, you know, gun control, rights for homosexuals, racism, education reform, just massive amounts of stuff. And I'm sure you, being the politic nerd that you are, you could probably list another 40 of those issues after my five. And so I feel like somebody's gonna be like, yeah, let's just do this and this and this and this and this. And we're gonna be like, yeah, and it's gonna be worse. That's my fear. So that's why I said that. Like, for people to say like it can't get any worse than Trump, it definitely can. That's what I meant by that.
And when you said I don't need a chance, is that a capital C chance or a lowercase c chance?
It's definitely a capital chance. And
you didn't think I was gonna let you get off of that one.
I was hoping. I was like, so chance in that instance is a metaphor.
Okay.
He's an example of what I was talking about earlier, where I'm trying to avoid saying this because I'm trying to avoid wording this in a certain way.
Okay.
But, you know, based off of what I know about like what goes on or whatever, and thank God that I'm kind of out of those circles and I don't know as much as I used to. That's for my sanity and not for anybody else's. But like, again, because of the church's obsession with like celebrity, you know, people just kind of took Chance and just ran with him. And now Chance is the standard that Lecrae was a few years ago, where now you're hearing more people incorporate gospel into their music. And now you're hearing people sort of rap and sing the way that Chance does. And you're seeing people dress and even market their music and present themselves in the way that Chance does. And it's clearly like, all right, you're trend hopping and that's trash. So it's less about Chance, even though I'm not the super Chance fan, but I'm not like dissing him like, yo, you're not going to do 723 and then in quotations or in parentheses, Chance the Rat. It's not a diss. He is merely a representation of a larger point that I have with celebrity culture and how people treat him versus how he presents himself. Because, again, like, I don't know his intentions. I have no idea. But I do see what people do in their response to him. And like all of that, some of it is cool and some of it isn't. And I kind of want to reform the stuff that isn't, or at least challenge or confront the things that aren't.
OK. Anything else about 723?
No, this is my second favorite beat on the album.
I'm looking through some of the questions we got online to see if there's anything we forgot. How do you react to getting negative feedback during the creative process?
I didn't get negative feedback. No, let me.
You surrounded you with a bunch of yes men. I have failed miserably.
Let me think of any negative feedback. I think that because we'll talk about the mixes in a second, but I think when it came to, let me think, was there any negative feedback? Did I write something and then present it to people and they were like, nah? Okay. So this goes along with the mixes. So, you know, Doc being Doc, when the mixes came back,
wow, like we're really, Doc kind of, we're just saying everything, ain't we?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, go ahead. You already are. I mean, it's cool.
No. We'll cut it.
Let's cool. do it. Let's do it.
Doc kind of, you know, had an opinion on some of the mixes where he's like,
I had some notes.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. As I'm talking to speakers notes, it's like, can we change this? Can we do this? Similar to And similar to what happened with I'm the One, where I sent it to some people and they're like, I don't really like this. Like, I don't like this from you. This sounds like this, that, and the third. It was one of those things where, like, I hear you, but I'm going to stick to my guns, because you kind of have to learn when to concede and then when to, like, say, nah, I'm going to keep doing what I'm already doing. And I think with your instances, first of all, I didn't hear what you heard until like 2 days later, where I was like, oh, now I hear it. And I was so ready to just have the album done. I was like, man, I'm not doing this. And they sounded fine to me. But Doc's, I'll say this publicly, that Doc's grievances weren't wrong. Well, I say Doc's list wasn't wrong. I'll say that. Grievances is a strong word.
Right.
But Doc's list of requests that he had, like, it wasn't wrong. It wasn't him, like, with a magnifying glass to the beat. It's just, that's your music, and you want it to sound the way that it sounded when you had it, when you created it.
Yeah,
and,
I give credit to anybody who is tasked with like mastering someone else's work, right? That's not easy, because you're hearing it with a totally fresh ear, with totally fresh ears, which can be really ideal in some cases. Mm-hmm. But like, I'll be the first to admit, I'm pretty particular. Like, if, you know, if I have a beat where like sounds like the snares are really loud, like that's probably because I wanted them that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very meticulous and very particular, even if it's all entirely like self-taught, about how I want my stuff to sound in a certain way. And I'm quick to be like, oh, no, I know that's different. I mean, even to this day, like, right. I listen to what's on the album, and I'm like, this guy changed. Like, I have this mental like catalog that I run through, but it's fine, mm-hmm. because it all sounds really good. Like, it's all good. You know what I mean? But not every producer does that, right? Like, for some producers, like the master like breathes like a whole new like
yes.
life into it, right?
Yes.
The challenge, like, for me, like for my stuff, is more like, okay, Doc has a very opinionated sound. Like, it's already coming. He's already like pushed stuff up to like certain, like, so it's already like getting the levels, like there's not a lot of like room. So the person who's mastering has to almost go, okay, if I've mastered the rest of this album to sound like this, how can I get Doc's stuff, which, especially like, you know, Revelation's Revolution, right? The grittiest drums on that, you know, like the grimiest, like most, you know, like early 90s, mid 90s drums on the album. Like, how do you get that to still sound like it's of the same album as something like I Am the One? Right.
Right. Right.
I don't envy right. anybody who's tasked with doing that, but I do have opinions.
Right. It is what it is. So, you know, I think it was just learning how to stick to your guns and saying, okay, like, I hear you. However, I feel like this is okay. Or I'm going to move forward in what this is, because at the end of the day, like, I want to make sure that I'm happy with it. And again, I don't want to overthink everything. That was one of my biggest goals on this album, was to not overthink it and to just let it be what it is. So that would be it. But did I like write a verse and people were like, nah, I don't really like that? No. Did we create, again, I'm not the guy who creates 30 songs and picks the best 10. We made maybe 11 songs and picked the best 9. Now, I've told people that I have an album's worth of other music that I'm sitting on during these sessions, but I created those songs knowing that they weren't going to go on this album. So I've got, I think I've got 8 or 9 songs that are phenomenal that I'm just sitting on that, you know, I will be releasing, but, you know, it wasn't part of this album process. It just so happened to be during the time that this was getting created.
All right. Is there anything that you have expected someone to ask you about, but you have not been asked about yet?
No, because I haven't done any interviews yet. This is the first interview, of course. You know, we've got the exclusive outside of the
exclusive coming from inside the house.
Of course. The Faithfully Magazine interview was conducted before the album was out, so they didn't hear it before they interviewed me. But I've got some interviews coming on Friday. With a few of my favorite outlets. Shout out to Two Tones and shout out to Gorilla Cross Radio. And I'm sure they'll be at, especially Two Tones, because those are like two friends of mine. So I'm sure they're going to ask me stupid, crazy questions. And then again, like, the good thing about my girlfriend at the time, who's like, we're not together, but like, she's still super close. We're still like best friends. She's a very inquisitive person. So she was asking me all these questions and more while we were creating this album. So I feel like I'm pretty well prepared for whatever's going to come, because she did a really good job of covering all bases for me.
If someone's never heard your music before, do you think this is a good place to start?
Yes.
What's the one song? If someone says, Armand, I only have time to listen to one song, what song should they listen to up here to start?
Sweeter. I'd say Sweeter.
Okay.
What would you say?
I mean, I'd probably start with you know, Revelation is Revolution, even though it's soon. Go right to 723. Like, you could just circle back around. Just kidding. Then Sweeter remix. And then, you know, the unreleased Wait remix. I mean, you just got a whole line of... No, I'm just kidding. A
whole bunch of stuff and things.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think Sweeter is probably a good choice.
Yeah. Like, just to start. And then from there, if they like that, which I feel like they will, then you can... you know, go elsewhere.
Is there anything else you want to say about this before we wrap up?
Thank you guys for your patience. And I really hope that this isn't an album that you, that will be forgotten by the weekend. It is why I put it out on a Tuesday instead of a Friday, because I wanted to give people the week for it to sort of sink in and to give people time with it, because I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of Tuesday releases. So, yeah, just thank you guys for your patience. And I really, really, really hope that you enjoyed the album. It was definitely a labor of love. I've definitely called Doc and cussed him out a couple times. Not yelling at him, but just like being frustrated about behind the scenes stuff. So this was definitely like a long time coming. And I'm super, super happy that it's out and it's available. And I hope that you guys get all out of it that I put into it. So,
Armand, we have gone... I don't even know how deep in this episode we are right now. And we have not told people where they can listen to and acquire this work of music.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
You can buy it directly from Bandcamp. We have a super limited run of physical CDs. So you can get those directly from Elect's Bandcamp.
Which is?
Elect.bandcamp.com, I-L-L-E-C-T. Also, if wherever you can go, I've created a link that will allow you to just get all of the music from the top streaming sites. You can go to fanlink.to/EIIL, and that'll have links to Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Tidal, everywhere, Bandcamp as well. But yeah, pretty much, but it's everywhere. Everywhere you consume music, it is everywhere. Buy it and stream it. That would be great. Because most of our music nowadays, I saw a pie chart, but most music clearly, obviously, is being streamed. But your $10 goes a super duper 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 long way, and we appreciate that. So, yeah, man.
All right. Anything else you want to say this week, Armand?
Nope, I've said enough.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's Hawk Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. I mean, obviously, like, you know, hit Armand up if you have questions about the album. But if you want to hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter. As always, we are at clockradiospeakers.com, everywhere you listen to podcasts, and now on Spotify. And yeah, I have no idea when we're back. I don't know. I feel like there's not really a whole lot coming out right now, but I'm sure we'll be back soon. And yeah, thank you all for listening.